Today's podcast is sponsored by RadRx, your source for quality online education for interventional and diagnostic radiology coding, taught by subject matter expert Stacy Buck. For more information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Struggling to learn interventional radiology coding? If so, RadRx has the perfect solution for you. Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology online training program. In this program, interventional radiology coding expert Stacy Buck breaks down the complexities of interventional radiology coding in easy-to-understand terms so you can grasp this complex specialty. Through her course, Stacy has assisted many coders with little or no interventional radiology coding experience in successfully passing the CIRC exam on the first attempt. For additional information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says, a podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level. And now, here's your host, Stacy Buck.
Welcome to another episode of Who Cares What Stacy Says. I am your host, Stacy Buck. For today's episode, I am again joined by Mario Perez. The past three episodes with Mario have focused on serious subject matter, but in today's episode, we take a turn to the lighter side of life for some of Mario's most embarrassing moments. I promise you, you will literally be laughing out loud. One of his stories actually reminded me of a scene from the Naked Gun movies with Leslie Nielsen. Listeners of similar age will know exactly what I'm talking about when they hear that story. But first, we open the episode with a brief discussion on networking. And after getting a few laughs at Mario's expense, we wrap up with Mario's final words of wisdom for those working in the coding and CDI profession. And now here is the final part of my interview with Mario.
What I love about this profession is regardless of your personality type, there is something for everyone. It isn't just one personality type. Like you talk about the typical coder personality type, and a lot of them do. They want to sit at a computer. They don't want human interaction. They want to, you know, stay there, and that's fine. You and I are like the anomalies. Like we enjoy the coding piece of it. It's like I looked at coding as like a means to an end. Like you have to have the coding knowledge, you have to learn it to then go out and do the teaching and then the consulting. Like I never would have been content sitting 40 hours a week behind a computer coding. That's not me, but I chose that path. And, you know, going back to what we've been kind of talking about, like people taking initiative, like I feel like a lot of newer people aren't taking the initiative and like making their own path and putting themselves out there. You know, they talk about applying for jobs and not getting jobs and getting turned down. Okay. Well, or, you know, think about your resume. Is your resume in good shape? Are your interview skills good? Those are some things, but building your skills, like going back to volunteering and serving, you know, for me, I never, in all the positions that I held before I went out on my own, I was never a manager. I was never director. I was never a supervisor. I never managed anyone. I was never in a leadership role as far as the organizational chart was concerned. I was never in a leadership role. You can be a leader without being in a leadership role, but on the org chart, I never was. And what I liked about the association is I was able to develop those leadership skills by coming up through the regional association and then going to the state level and chairing committees and being president of the state. I would have not been able to develop those skills anywhere else but in that setting. And what's kind of nice about it is that you have less pressure on you to do it in that setting because everybody is a volunteer. So it's a little bit of trial and error, like when you're doing it, and that's okay because everybody's in a volunteer role. So I feel like there's less pressure and you kind of, it's like you learn as you go along. Like there, you will beat your head against the wall only so many times before you're like, okay, I got to change something here. I have to change direction. And you learn and you adapt in how to interact with people, deal with people, manage different people and different personality types. I never got that on the job except for like peer-to-peer, like coworker, you have to deal with that. But when you're managing and leading a group of people, you can't deal with everybody in the same way. You can't communicate with everybody in the same way. And then you're like, how do I motivate this team? Like, what's my leadership style, you know, to get the most that I can out of everybody? And that's something I would have never had that experience. And now, in so many things that I've been involved in outside of the professional association, I see where these skills have so benefited me, where I can step into other settings and take over and lead things and deal with things. And in business, it's helpful. So why people don't take advantage of that free experience, kind of like, you know, going down that path, it's, and then the networking, the people that you meet, that is like invaluable. And I feel like everybody now, you know, is so accustomed to the virtual and everybody's sitting behind their computers. And I'm like, there's nothing that can ever replace, I don't feel like, face-to-face networking. And I still recommend it. Now, some people can't do it. Then get online and do it. LinkedIn. People don't tap into LinkedIn enough and network enough on LinkedIn. You can showcase your knowledge there. Since they changed LinkedIn several years ago and made it more like Facebook, you now have the ability to put yourself out on LinkedIn as a subject matter expert and be sharing your knowledge and expertise and helpful content every single day and get noticed. When I started getting on LinkedIn more, just by me posting and sharing my knowledge, I started getting more consulting opportunities coming in from LinkedIn. People would see me and then they would reach out to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why was I never on LinkedIn before? So anybody can be an expert in anything. There's something that you can do well that other people don't know how to do. And you don't need to know how to do it all. You just need to find like one thing and focus in on it. If that's where you want to go, put in the time and then showcase your knowledge and talent in that space. And people will notice you. Recruiters are over there on LinkedIn looking, you know, and all of the managers and different people, and connect with these people, follow what they're posting, comment, interact, try to learn more about what they're doing, learn from them. So that I think is like an untapped gold mine on LinkedIn, because for years, LinkedIn was awful. It was awful. It was like useless. But since they changed it, way better. I'm on it every day, multiple times a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the fact is that you're able to, although I got the old version, I guess, and it's out there, but nobody looked. But now the newer version is you're able to connect, and it makes people that you connected with, and you're able to connect with them. So before, it was very different. So I think that's another avenue of opportunity.
It's way more social now, whereas before it was more like an online resume, and now it's more social, which has made it different. And I see a lot of people building successful businesses by doing social networking on LinkedIn, like these solopreneurs, the entrepreneurs in HIM, outside of HIM. I am amazed at the money that is being made by people because they're on LinkedIn and networking on LinkedIn and putting content on LinkedIn. So I just wish I would have started it sooner.
Well, it's great because what it is advertising. It's just like going to a convention and putting your name out there as a vendor. Well, here you have that media. And I think this generation now is able to, you know, use that technology to the greatest advantage. I think times are exciting on things, how they progress because of the technology and being able to use it to that advantage. I see it. High schoolers, great middle schoolers, they're using all this social media, and it is just flabbergasting about how it for the good cause. There's always, you know, issues with, you know, some of the bad things that could happen with social media. But I think the opportunities are there. But also, once again, I think, you know, for example, South Florida Health Information Management Association, they're doing a great job that provides a lot of education. They have basically on Saturdays, they've done a great job to provide some education for CEUs and things like that. So I think it's important for people to join, you know, that association. I don't think anybody meets anymore as regards to social networking, but I believe, you know, people could tap into that, to the board, to ask, to see how things are done now that COVID sort of dissipating, hopefully, now becomes pandemic to an endemic cause or whatever. Maybe people could have that sociability as well, and come to that, meet face to face, or do so a Zoom meeting or something like that, that people could see each other and ask for information. Where do I go? But you have to ask for it, you know? And I think eventually the friends that you develop over time, that's priceless. It's like I said.
Definitely. Definitely. Half of my friends are friends I've met in the profession over the years. I would say at least 50% of them come from the profession.
And I'm glad that FHIMA last year and this year again, it's going to, you know, the convention. I mean, people say, oh, well, what are you here for, Mario? Even if I'm not speaking, there's something I'm going to learn. And obviously the networking, seeing people, I mean, to me, it's the social aspects of the association. And you never know whether you could keep giving forward and or in the future, let's say, business opportunities. You never know what happens, but you can't live in a box. So this thing about being introverted, extroverted, I get it. From a work perspective, IT people like to be in their IT world more and more. That's what HIM. But there's so much more to it. You could in this field, and it all becomes with personality. I think there's something for everybody, but you really got to feel out. But you don't know what you don't know, so you got to figure out what are all the concepts of in healthcare, understanding the dynamics, and where does my skill set fall within these entities? So.
And so for the people out there,
and you only get that by talking to people who have been out there and knowing it. You're not going to get that in academia, you know?
Correct. For people who are out there who are thinking, oh, but I'm like a shy, quiet, reserved person. Well, I have news for you. Stacy used to be painfully shy and very quiet and very reserved. And look at me now, that went away. And I would say when the shift started to occur with me, was during my time serving at the regional level, the state level, through those leadership roles, it brought me more out of my shell and I gained more confidence. And then I hit a point where I'm like, I'm going to say what I'm going to say and I don't care. I wasn't shy, you know, at all. You probably, maybe when you first met me, you probably thought I was shy and quiet, but then over time, you probably saw that evolution in me where I was definitely a lot more
vocal. You don't know who you know. You're just trying to feel the fear. You want to fit in. You don't want to turn people off. It happens to everybody. And sometimes, you know, people, you know, I'm very talkative, but I could be very quiet depending on what the situation is. Because when I'm quiet, I'm assessing. I'm going, wait a minute, where is this going at? You know, should I? And there are things that you got to be careful of. In many instances. But I don't think personality-wise, it's what you really want to get out of life and what you really want to do and how you're committed to these world. But I'll tell you, information technology is really, it impacts us all every day of our lives. Everything is technology. And so you got to learn it. You got to really make sure that you understand it. And being able to really put yourself in those shoes and volunteer. I remember when, you know, way back when I was already working in the finance division, and when I was in school, I didn't think about medical records. And at that time, they didn't even have the software. They had St. Anthony's coding book. So I would sit down.
I remember St. Anthony's. I remember.
Yeah. So I remember that. And before that was a government issue ICD-9 book. And I would say, so what are you doing? I says, oh my God, this is really complicated. And I would say, well, how can you understand the doctor's handwriting? Oh, you'll get used to it. Oh, you'll read in between the lines. And I go, oh yeah. And I was, oh. So, you know, there are things that you learn. But nowadays with technology, you got to learn where the source document is. And that's why we're saying that is that AI is extremely important. You just can't sit through 2,000 pieces of paper or information in a medical record and says, where do I start? You'll never get through, you'll never do your work. So technology has to do that. We've created, because of the electronic environment, it has not replaced us, but it has changed the way that we do business. And so you gotta be aware of that.
I love that I live in this time with technology, because the internet is like the best invention ever, because it allows us to do so much of what we do. And I think about in the 90s when I came into the profession, we were all paper-based. Then when people started getting online, remember like America Online, AOL, dial-up, all that back in the 90s. And
well,
then
I still have my AOL account.
Your AOL account, you do. And I'm like, how does that even still exist? But no, that was like the beginning of people having access to the internet. And so I had the internet in my home before I ever had it on the job and had access to things. And I can't even imagine trying to do what we do without the internet. I mean, thinking about how dependent we, like accessing information before was like impossible, finding stuff. It was very difficult. And then and then myself with my business, if not for the internet, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, like the online education. People want remote. I found my niche. I do very well,
absolutely,
you know, with that. And so I have the ability to not work like a crazy person and work 50 or 60 hours a week as a consultant. I can do that. And then I can go enjoy myself. So I'm glad to be living in this time. So we've been talking for a long time now. So, but I do want to wrap up with a couple of fun questions. I have two questions that I want to ask you to like wrap up. So this is a question I ask every guest, particularly if they read a lot of medical records. So what is the funniest or oddest thing you have ever read in a medical record?
The oddest thing that I have read in a medical record is,
I wouldn't have thought you would have needed to think about this. With all the records you've read, I'm like, Mario's going to have something good.
Let me see how it went. It was a dictation that I was reading in the medical record, and the I forget how really it says. I forget, but it was sort of a no pun intended, and it was like the physician was writing a note there from the wife, her husband was ill, and the wife said, "Oh, my doctor and my husband's not feeling well," and so the doctor says in the conversation, "Well, what's the problem?" And the wife says, "Well, my husband is always hot in bed." And the doctor said, "And what's wrong with that?"
Yeah, doesn't sound like it should be a problem.
Oh, God, what can I tell you? There are other ones, I think, no pun intended.
There are always interesting ones. I, you know, haven't come across a lot. I mean, working in radiology, we don't see stuff like really weird or like really funny. Like, I don't get exposed to that stuff because I'm looking at such a limited part of the medical record. But even I've come across some funny things. Okay, so last question I'm going to ask you. What is your most embarrassing moment professionally?
That I can answer very quickly. It was the advent of the emails. And I was just starting to email, and I was emailing a buddy of mine, and I was telling him that, you know, and this was at work, and and I said, "I think so and so, she's so pretty, you know, every time I look at her, I get all goosebump or whatever," and it was really a lengthy email about all of this, and I had just written this girl before, and what happened was she got copied on the email and it went to her.
Oh my gosh.
That was embarrassing, but it turned out to be good because then we became very good friends and things like that. Now, I was back in 1988, I think, or something like that, when the internet was, emails were just starting out. That was embarrassing. I look back at that now and I says, you know what, if that transpired now, I'd probably be fired.
I was just thinking that when you were telling the story. I'm like, if that happened today, yeah, that would not go over the same way.
Well, Stacy, it's amazing how things change in life, you know, about the parameters, because I didn't say anything obscene or anything. I was 20 some odd years old or whatever, 30, you know, 28 or something. And, but I remember when she responded, and she responded immediately, you know, and I saw an email for her and says, "Well, thank you so much, you young stallion."
Okay, now I think that was like more inappropriate than your email that you originally sent, if we're looking at it from today's standards.
So this is at a place of work, is what I tell her. That was a more, what I would say, innocently embarrassing. I think nowadays it would be terrible, you know, it just brings to things how things have changed in the world. You know, South Florida, Miami, most Hispanic people, we hug each other and kiss when we see each other. And sometimes, you know, after we've only met once, even professionally, you kiss the women and, you know, or whatever, and you hug me. And nowadays, you got to be very careful for that, you know? I'm really worried that, you know, down the road, they're going to tell me, I recall Mario hugged me about 40 years ago, very inappropriately, and find myself in court.
You never know these days. I mean, people, it's very different. I was recently talking to a friend of mine and sharing some stories with her about one place that I worked, like things that were happening behind the scenes. And she was laughing hysterically as I'm telling her these stories. And I said, these are stories I would love to tell on the podcast, but I so can't. Not in the environment that we're in today. No. I could not tell these stories, even though back then they were fun and funny and everybody was on board and everybody was good with some of the things that like happened, like between coworkers and different things. And like, it would not happen today. Absolutely not. Everybody would be fired, shut down, over, done. But we're talking 20 years ago.
Yeah. I think for me, basically, when I came from the finance and then in medical records, pretty soon I became a supervisor. And it was a really good learning experience because I became a supervisor of all ladies in the department. And I'll never forget Miss Ann Neri, may she rest in peace. Little did I know that she was previously the HRM director, but she stayed on. So she was the librarian there back in the 40s at that institution. So here it is, the 80s, and or the 50s or the 60s. Yeah. And I saw that we were, she basically didn't like me. I could see, I could sense it. And so one day she was at lunch and I sat down at the lunch table and says, may I join you? Because there was no, says, oh, sure. So I look at her and I asked her, you don't like me a lot, do you? And I says, no, I don't. You all think, you young whippersnappers, wow, think you all need it all. Old Irish lady. And I said, now I could have taken that the wrong way. And I said, you know, Miss Neri, I don't know anything. And I think if there's anybody who could be my best friend on my third day of work here at this place would be you. Because I think I can learn a lot from you. That changed the whole thing. That lady.
Of course.
That lady had so many contacts, so many physicians that I never had a delinquent record in my life. She helped me out a lot because she realized, you know, she felt apparently there was a lot of politics. Here I am. She was doing the old things. I changed everything. I brought in computers, you know, she had to learn, you know, but I understood that. And it was interesting. And being the only guy there, these ladies that took, they're all, you know, much another generation. Then we started hiring other people and things like that, and the things started changing. You could see the dynamics changing, things like that. But I've been very fortunate that I've worked in my field. But one of the things that I didn't notice then that I was very cognizant of, that as a male in the HIM industry at that time, I progressed far rapidly along the ranks in administration that most ladies did. And I found,
yes,
that, I found that so unfair. I really did. Because what I had learned to get where I was were from all those ladies. I was out of school, you know, I was in a finance division, but then I became department head. And so I learned through the ranks. Then I joined another facility. It was actually University of Miami. And there was a lot of politics there. And so I think it's come a long way. I think there's still a lot to go for. So when we're talking about equitability is important in life. And I see a lot of changes. And although not all change is good, but I'm glad that people are speaking up. I see the younger generations, they're out there. God forbid any of us would talk when I was in high school. I went to a private school or anything like that. And now people out there, and you really got to speak up. You really, and we talked about from a professional perspective, but even from a personal perspective, you got to put yourself out there, because if you don't, nobody knows who you are or what you do. And who knows, maybe by you putting yourself out, it takes one person sometimes to make an impact. You wouldn't believe that. One person to make an impact or have a thought. Who would have thought, you know, all these people that have done so many good things in the world, you know, like Stephen Jobs, Microsoft, you know, Bill yeah. Gates, they had a thought. And you know what? They were in college, and what they do? They quit and went to their garage and created a company.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not knocking academia.
Yeah. But it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. You know, that's what it is. There's not a one size fits all.
And because that's the way it was. You went to school, you went to college, you went to university. But I see a lot of people nowadays. It's a different thing altogether. You could get your foundations wherever you get them, but you need to really make an impact, and you want to make sure that you're able to be happy at what you do. I've been thrilled through my pathway. Speaking about it brings a lot of wonderful memories, trials and tribulations, the hard work that one put into it. I'm glad that I'm able to see the fruition of the labor of work, but it wasn't all based on me. It was a lot of help, a lot of being at the right place of making hopefully the right decisions. Sometimes they weren't the right decisions. I once time was offered a very good executive position at a place. I went there. I quit my job. I was there for 2 weeks, and 2 weeks I resigned. People were like, what? What happened? He says, I want to be politically correct. This is not the place for me. I could sense it. It wasn't for me. And so things, times, you got to take a back. You got to take a look. Look like a nice, very lucrative position, very high profile. This is, I felt miserable. So sometimes it's not the job in its place, who you work for, who you surround yourself with, which is your safe harbor, people who really genuinely want to help you and you help yourselves out, because you're dealing with people, no matter now, whether it's socially, through media or whatever it is, but it's developing that skill set. And I think it's important to realize that and be happy in life. And enjoy it as much as we can. The journey is what's important. And it never finishes until we go to our infinite wisdom of our next life, wherever it is.
Yep, and we never know what's ahead. Some unexpected things are not good, and other unexpected things are better than you ever thought they could be. That's what life has taught me. So about your embarrassing moment, I thought you might tell your Zoom story. I was thinking you might go there, but you went with a different story. You remember your Zoom story. You told us when we were at FHIMA convention last year, there was one afternoon a few of us were sitting around talking, and you shared about a funny Zoom experience that you had.
Oh, which one was it?
Which one? So there was more than one? It had to do with how you were dressed for your Zoom meeting, if that like rings a bell.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if I wanted to share that with everyone. I think this was the time when I was very appropriately addressed. I had a suit with my tie, and I was speaking with an audience, whatever. But however, I tend to talk with my hands. I tend to walk around the room, but I didn't have pants on. So is that it? Is that the story?
That was the story you told about not having pants on, and you got up to get something.
Grab something, and then I came back, and I forgot because I went to the desk, and then people were like raising their hands, and I saw people laughing. Oh, what's going on? I says, people, hey Mario, nice underwear, you know, and that was it. Oh,
it
yeah.
happened. People, everybody has Zoom stories.
And some lady on the chat room, I remember I came back and I says, nice legs, Mario. And I went, what? Oh, God. That was when I was starting to do Zoom. It's all this technology. Another one was basically, another embarrassing moment was I was at a client's site. And big auditorium, so we had to get the lavalier mic, you know, put it on and stuff like that. And we're having a discussion, and the discussion turned to be almost into an argument about coding tracheostomies. Go figure. Trache is a trache. You got the highest D or D, you're done. But now there was these coders that were really sort of a challenge. Finally, I said, okay, fine. So I had, so after a while, let's take a break and we'll get back to it or whatever it is. And I had my nurse consultant with me at the time. So off I go into the men's bathroom and I forgot to turn off the
light. Oh, no.
So I'm there doing my business at the urinal and I'm just huffing and puffing under my breath, speaking to myself about the experience. And I think I started saying, oh God, I need a Valium and I need a gin and tonic right now. I can't take this crap anymore. But I said the other word that begins with an S.
Oh my gosh.
All of a sudden, I hear two guys that are washing their hands. Says, hey, buddy, there's a lady knocking in the men's room desperately trying to find you. I don't know what you did to her. So I zip up, wash my hands, and I go and my consultant friend, she's waving her arms and pointing at my jacket. And I go, what is it? I don't have any. What stain do I have? And she takes the mic. You know, she doesn't speak. And I go, oh my God, I left the lavalier mic on. I turn it off. It says, Mario, they heard everything. I says, what did they hear? Well, you started saying something about Valium. So, and that's where you cut off because we heard a stream and a flush. So apparently, luckily they didn't hear the other part. And I'm going, oh, and he says, Mario, I jumped over. It was an amphitheater and I'm rushing out because I know you. You were just going to start cussing yourself out and it would have been the end of us. I walk into the, so I go, okay, now I got to face the situation. So I walk back into the amphitheater and they're all looking at me like, you know, we're going to. I says, well, ladies and gentlemen, going back to their conversation, I believe I need a tracheostomy right now. I apologize for any inconveniences that you may have heard while I was relieving my kidneys so I didn't go into acute renal failure. So now they started laughing. So I turned that situation into a CDI opportunity. And needless to say, obviously, a trach is a trach is a trach. DRG3 or DRG4, let's move on to the next subject. And I'm pretty sure y'all had a great time as I was leaving my kidneys. Well, I never heard it. And then the other story that I have in closing here.
I have to say that is like the best story. I muted myself because my continuous laughing would have like cut out what you were saying. So I had to be on mute. But the audience, if you're wondering why I'm quiet, that's why I had to mute myself during that story.
And then the other one to leave your audience members are really amused here. This was back in the days of Jay Thomas. And I said, you know, it's interesting why we don't have any business in the Caribbean, in Puerto Rico. Well, they speak Spanish. And I said, yeah, but the body's the body. The body does not mutate because they speak Spanish. Well, CDI. And I says, but they have bilingual records there. Here's me creating an opportunity. Why? I want to be a month in Puerto Rico. Well, lo and behold, we go do an assessment. And, you know. And we got the deal. 1 month.
Wow.
Summertime. Loved it. Embassy Suites. They paid at that time, you know, it was all on hands. So I would go there. So first day of implementation, I get up and it was going to be an implementation of CDI integrated with care management. So you had like 34 nurses there. Okay. So it was the big auditorium and I make my introductions. I got the CEO, the director of nursing, the director of HIM, coders, everybody, about 50 some odd people in the auditorium. And then I speak Spanish, but my primary language is English. And so what I was doing is thinking in English and then speaking in Spanish. Well, be careful, because when you do some translation of words from English to Spanish, they may mean something totally different in Spanish. So here's a speech. I get up and they introduce me. Mr. Perez is here with Jay Thomas to improve our documentation initiatives here at this hospital. And you have all been selected to participate in this training. And we're very proud. It's going to help our facility from a clinical perspective to improve patient care, yada, 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 and go on. Thank you very much. Applause, applause, applause. Mario gets up with his fancy suit and I'm there talking. And I just say to everybody with a smile on my face, and I say in Spanish, estoy muy excitado de estar aquí con ustedes. English, I am very excited to be here with you today. Well, when I said that in Spanish, all the nurses went like, opened up their eyes, and they looked at my groin. And I go, and every dead silence. The CEO comes to me and he's laughing. And I'm going, what happened? And he whispers in my ear, Mario, you just told everybody in this room that you are horny to be here today, this morning.
I love it.
I could feel the blood just rushing up my face, up my ears, and I turned like a red tomato, and everybody's looking at me, and I go, and I bowed my head, and I said, oh my God. And then everybody started sort of laughing. He laughs, so everybody starts laughing. And so I said, I got to save this situation. And I says, what? Well, I apologize, but truly, with such beautiful nurses that I have here today, who would not be excited? That even worked.
That's funny. Now, you couldn't say that now. I don't think so. No. Yes. Trouble.
this was back in 2003. Interesting to note, this client I kept for about up until 2015 as a consultant. And I would go there every 3 months to do their consulting education and things like that. And I would go into the office, and guess what they would have for me waiting? A banner. It says, Mario, are you excited to be here?
I love it.
And it's just amazing how those things happen. You know, I don't know how people would react nowadays, but it was very innocent. And would you believe, here we are 2022, and with the consulting services, I have nurses that are still my friends at that facility. They call me, how you doing, and things like that. And so you begin to develop that rapport. But you're talking about embarrassing moments, Stacey. I recall a lot of them come to mind.
I knew you would have some good ones. I knew you would have some good ones.
That was another true one as well. Absolutely. Anyway.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We are wrapping up on a funny and positive note. Thank you, Mario, so much for taking time to chat with me today and share the benefit of your knowledge and experience. I know that the audience will find it very valuable. So before we sign off, is there any final thoughts that you would like to share with the audience?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Stacey, for allowing me this great opportunity to be part of your podcast. It was great to share history, experiences, futuristic ramifications that may be down the road, what the future may hold. But in closing thought to your audience members, for those of you that are whatever stages of you are in your career, there's always opportunities to further enhance depending on what stage you are at. And even as you are new to this career as well, is also ensure that you make sure that you have a mentorship, that you develop that close network. social media is great, I believe, in regards to setting up that network, but becoming involved advertising yourself. I've once learned, and I learned this from one of a great many icons in the HIN profession, and his name is Perry Ellie, which Stacy mentioned. And I would tend to many of his seminars when he spoke a lot in the association when I was just a member. And it always ran true when one of his speeches about, you know, resources, resumes that he talked about in presentation and stuff. And I'll never forget, he mentioned this and he coined the term, you are your own company. You represent yourself. And I thought of that, sell yourself as you, your own company. And that rang true. And that piece of advice really rang true through all of my career of how you want to present yourself with the goals that you want to accomplish. And also remember, no company seeks by itself. You need to get the resources to make sure that you're familiar with what surrounds you. And I've always learned that nobody, no matter how up you are in the echelons of a career, whether you're starting, whether you're in the corporate, always learn. I always have to tell you that learning is a very important experience, whether it be professionally or personal. And always to make sure that you keep your network of friends, make sure that you make contacts, because throughout your career, you never know when you could, you know, not only for friendship, but for business-wise, it will be very important. I knew when I got into the corporate world and as a vendor, started out in South Florida, I got a lot of business here just because of the fact of not what I knew, but of my history, of that they knew me. So having those networks are very important in developing me as my own business, of trusting me of that. And I'll tell you, trust is a very important concept in anybody's life, but in professionally. If people trust you, they will be more than happy to make business with you, even if you may not be the top choice of having that knowledge, perhaps, because they're giving you the chance of being, of having that trust. And developing that trust only comes with the developing the relationships. Get involved at the regional level. The regional level helps you to step into the state level. The state level helps you to go into the national level, whatever you may be. You may not aspire to maybe go to the higher offices, but you never know who you may meet virtually or maybe in person. Having those contacts. Remember, in closing, he who has a godfather or a godmother gets baptized. And that's important. And it's a nice saying. I always mention that because you're always going to need somebody to give you that extra push and help you. So study. If you're studying, work hard, make it for yourself. And at the end of the day, what my grandmother used to say, be kind. Everything falls into place.
Kindness goes a long way and is sometimes lacking in this day and age with people's personal behavior. But so Perry talked about, and I've heard Perry talk about that years ago, like you're your own company, sell yourself as your own company. Yep. In this day and age, what people say is creating your own personal brand. You are your own personal brand. And it's creating, that's in the social media age, that's how we refer to it, as a personal brand. And over on LinkedIn.
I love it.
That's what you do on LinkedIn. You create your own personal brand independent of your employer. You should not be using LinkedIn to promote your employer. You should be using LinkedIn to promote yourself and the value that you bring to the table.
Stacy, thank you so much for that. Learned a lot. If I go into another career, I'm going to do that. Or LinkedIn.
I can't wait to see like what you're going to do next, because I know you're going to do something. You may be taking it easy right now, but I can't see you just sitting around and working on your tan and only going dancing and having drinks with umbrellas. I see you doing something else. I think you're finished.
I basically, from the corporate world, I am taking a hiatus. I am looking to do some things, obviously slowing down. What I've noticed nowadays, that you talked about the 40-hour week, That doesn't exist. It's what you could do. It's what bring some information and maybe doing something that's fun, maybe giving back. And so you've heard me talk about these managed care organizations. And when I'm looking to that, is my God, just for the heck of it, I'd love to just help out. It looks like they really, really need help. And I think I'd get a kick out of that. But right now, I did last August sort of what I would call fiscally retired. That means that I was able to, you know, get all my hard work and live off of my assets. So, you know, that's what fiscal retirement is. But I am young. I think I'd still like to be involved. I'm still a member of the association. I still like to study and stuff like that. It's interesting to be able to step back and be able to look at what I did and maybe look forward. Right now, I'll tell you, I enjoy basically not working, not actually having the obligation. And what I mean by that is that, like I said, pandemic was a life changer for me. And the things did change. And so I'm not one to sit at a computer. Although today we've been talking almost, 5 hours? And
you officially broke the record out of all my guests. You broke the record. So I'm going to make this a 5-part episode with our discussion.
Absolutely. And so, I think it's important to look at what I mean, there's other interests that I do personally as well. You talked about dancing. I'll do it once in a while, but it takes me like 3 days to recuperate after that.
That's what you were saying earlier, that it takes you a little longer. So
recuperate. But it's what you put life into it. And I think there are different chapters in life. And so the book has been written. So maybe it's time for another book to look at what I really want to do. I will tell you personally, almost 30 years on a plane, I noticed that I missed out a lot on personal things with family that I missed out on because I was working, flights and all of that. And now I get a lot of my joy is on the simpler things that I missed out. And so,
right, that makes sense.
And that's really interesting. And having now what I call is people, like, well, what are you doing now? And I says, well, I'm raising parents. And so it's interesting to see how the roles have changed as they get elderly, there are more needs. And the patience that comes with raising parents and things like that. But I am looking to perhaps do other things in the near future. But I really want to do is hopefully this pandemic becomes an endemic and then I be able to do a little bit of more traveling for pleasure that I've always liked to do. And we'll see what happens. All I can pray for is I do wish for everybody is health. Without health, you can't do anything. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how much assets you have. I've also learned many things with the pandemic. You accumulate a lot of stuff. So Goodwill has seen me a lot last year and the year before that. And how much the, and I'd say the simpler things in life, you know, being in the corporate world, it was no time to be thinking, no time for neurosis. It was on the go, on the go, on the go, next project, you know, and the flights, the rental cars, the hotels, the late nights, the meetings and stuff like that. So I don't miss it. I had it, but it was time. You have to know when you need to step down gracefully is what I believe. And so it comes a point where you said, you know, it's time to slow down. And I don't think if it was for the pandemic, I would not have slowed down. I would have kept on and on and on like the Energizer until the batteries ran out. And
yeah, I think that's the case for a lot of people that kind of force people to slow down and not be doing everything that they were doing. I mean, I slowed down a lot back in my 30s when I started having the health issues and then I couldn't work for so long. And I went through that horrific experience. After that, I'm like, I don't want to work 50, 60 hours a week anymore. And I don't want to be a stressed out, miserable person. And you know, not have quality relationships and not be out enjoying myself. So when you go through something like that, because like you say, I was making great money. Even when I couldn't work my company, that was the most successful year for my company, actually, when I had all that like going on. So money wasn't an issue, but it's like all the money that I had couldn't fix my problem. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. And I'm just throwing money at it. And when you don't have your health, you don't have anything, regardless of anything else, you know, going on in your life.
And when you're talking
about tomorrow's not guaranteed to anyone. So enjoy yourself now.
And when you're talking about health, Stacey, it's about not only physical health, but it's mental health, psychological health, spiritual health, we're talking about all of those issues that transpire. And I'll tell you, you got to be happy. That's very important. And I know a lot of people might be doing things in life working that they're not happy. And I think what has happened with the great resignation, people have come to buy, you know what? They were unhappy. I was blessed. I would pinch myself and say, my God, I'm being paid to be the ham that I am. I'm being paid to do what I love. That's a blessing that most people don't have. Or it's a blessing now that people have realized I could have that. I need to reassess what I want to do and being able to enjoy that and bring in. And nowadays, it's not a matter of putting in the hours. It's like, you know, your work could actually be, you know, maybe work 4 hours, but you're working. It's not a matter how much time, it's what the outcomes are, you know? And I think that's where a lot of people are working at, and employers need to realize that they have. You've had the great, you know, millions of people, 4 million, 5 million people resigning and quitting their jobs or for whatever purposes. And you see that there's a lot of need. So it's interesting. For those individuals that are reassessing themselves on health information management, I see great opportunities. If you just Google, you know, CDI coding, it is out there. And a lot of them, you know, some of them require on-site, but most of them are remote. So, you know, somebody else's decision could impact on your opportunities is what I'm saying, more than anything else in my life. So, be happy, be kind, and enjoy the journey. That's what it's all about.
Definitely. All great advice. So thank you again, Mario, for giving so unselfishly of your time. You could be off doing something else for the past 5 hours instead of talking with me. But I always enjoy speaking with you. I always enjoy seeing you. We've had many dinners together. Yeah. And so I always enjoy conversing with you.
Absolutely, Stacey. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll see each other physically in the near future. We'll see.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mario.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That wraps up my interview with Mario Perez. In the next episode, I am joined by Eric Rubenstein of Advise. Eric is a former OIG agent who many know as one of the Chuckleheads on the Coffee, Compliance, and Chuckleheads podcast. Eric possesses a wealth of knowledge about internal investigations and has so many great stories. You definitely don't want to miss the next 2 episodes with Eric. And finally, I want to thank all of my listeners. Who Cares What Stacey Says just celebrated its 1-year anniversary on May 4th. I would love to hear from all of you about some topics you would like me to tackle over the next year. As always, I ask that if you are loving the podcast and listen on Apple, please take a moment to give the podcast a 5-star rating and leave a review. And of course, please share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. If you have feedback you'd like to share in an episode or a topic suggestion, please send me topic suggestions to consider over the next year. Please send them to podcast@radrx.com. That's podcast@radrx.com. Thanks again for tuning in and have an amazing week.
Thank you for listening to Who Cares What Stacey Says. You can connect with Stacey on social media. You can find her business page for RadRx on Facebook, and you can connect with her personally on LinkedIn. Don't forget to check out the online training courses offered by RadRx, Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology Online Training, or Cracking the Diagnostic Radiology Code Online Training. Thanks again for tuning in to Who Cares What Stacey Says? a podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level.